Mr. Moore, where do you come from? What part of the country?
Well, I was born in a little mining town, Castleford, about 10 miles south of Leeds. A small town with a concentrated industrial atmosphere. There were 5 coal mines, 2 or 3 potteries, a chemical works, a glass works, all within a radius of 1/2 mile of the centre of the town. But immediately around it was very nice country, Yorkshire landscape.
And what did your father do for a living?
My father actually worked down the coal mine.
Well, where did you get your first training in art?
Well, from the very beginning, I suppose, like most children, they have subjects at school which they like better than others, and I remember quite clearly always liking the drawing lesson in the elementary school that I went to, and can remember that by about 9 or 10, I actually began to be interested in sculpture, in looking at the Gothic carvings on a church near one's home, Methley Church, and that I remember very clearly, looking at these heads and sculptures on the church and trying to draw them.
When you were 9 or 10 years
when
old?
When I was about 10 years, well, I was still at the elementary school, because a year or so later, when I was 11, I got a scholarship and went to the local grammar school. But my interest in sculpture had begun before I went to the grammar school.
How old are you now, Mr. Moore? When was all
I'm
this
now
happening?
55. I think I probably went to the from the elementary school to the other about 9 or 10. But I can quite clearly remember the first time. You know how, if you ask children what they're going to be, for instance, my little daughter now thinks she wants to be a ballet dancer. Probably in a month's time she'll want to be a nurse or something like that. But I remember quite often being asked what I wanted to be, and quite clearly after I was about 10 saying every time that I wanted to be a sculptor. And I think it dates from an incident. I used to go to Sunday school.
Yes.
I remember going to Sunday school one Sunday and the superintendent of the Sunday school telling us a story, the moral of which I think was that you should always take the advice of your elders. And to prove this point, he said even such a great man as Michelangelo, the greatest sculptor that ever lived, was once carving a form, and a passerby saw it. He was carving it in an open shed, and said, but an old form wouldn't have all its teeth. Michelangelo immediately realized how sensible this was and knocked one of the teeth out. And he told us this story to prove how great men listened to advice. But what stuck in my mind was not anything to do with the moral or the advice, but the fact that there was a great sculptor named Michelangelo. And I think from then onwards, I had this fixed in my mind that I wanted to be a sculptor.
Mr. Moore, how would you describe this piece of sculpture behind you, this large white form standing on this dais here?
This is a work that's not yet completed. It's one of a series of works that I've been doing. I first thought of the of this theme, or did the first idea of this theme, of a form inside another form, and what I call interior-exterior forms, in which one form inhabits the space, the whole, inside another. And as you see, the large wooden one over there is the same idea, in which the form inside the outside shell, the whole of this was carved out of a large elm tree, and it's meant to be connected up with a mother and child, the form inside being the form that's protected by the mother, or even the kind of idea of growth, of birth, of a form in a womb, or a flower, the stamen inside a flower, all that idea of one form being enclosed by another one.
And this plaster one here is
the plaster one here is the same idea, except that I may leave, when it's completed, I may leave the inside form out of it. The inside form will still, though, in my opinion, have had its effect. It will be implied, as it were. But it is that in trying to make up my mind about it, I've had the inside form in and out and altered the two to make them come together. But the space that the inside gives you, the kind of cave, if you come to this end and look in that way, it would. In fact, I've taken photographs of a small figure against this, and compared with some of the shelter drawings that I did, in which there were figures inside a tunnel.
In the air raid shelter drawings.
Yes. This is almost identical with a small figure here photographed against that. It's very like some of one's tunnel drawings of the shelter drawings.
Yes, of course, one can get right down and look into the thing.
You can actually
see.
Almost imagine oneself inside.
And you'd say this concept of the concave, the negative sculpture, is something that you, a contribution that you personally have made to sculpture, is it?
Yes, probably, if I were asked and tried to consciously work out what idea in modern sculpture is most purely personal to me, I would say it is this idea of holes, of where the hole or the cave, where the space in the sculpture is a real quality, a real aesthetic effect that one is aiming at.
Now, Mr. Moore, where between the boy in the mining town in Yorkshire, who noticed the carvings on the church and heard at Sunday school about Michelangelo, and the man today, who is internationally known for this style in sculpture, where did this idea first begin to develop and how?
I think somewhere around about 1931 or two, in carving a piece of sculpture, I decided that I wanted to free it a little bit more than what, instead of having the usual idea of stone sculpture being a very compact and solid thing, I wanted to make the form be as completely existent as possible. And so I made one's first penetration through from one side of the block to the other, I'm sure, from that point of view, of trying to get complete three-dimensional air-surrounded form. And that gradually has led on to making one's... That led on to making the holes a conscious element in it. Later, I'd say, came 2 or 3 years ago, an attempt to make the forms inhabit the space that they were in. Now, even the kind of hole, the cave form, is something which excites me very much. What I'm trying to say is that a sculptor is somebody who's trying to make shape and space absolutely real. And even unlike a painter, who may be satisfied with the kind of texture or colours or so on, without being interested in complete form realisation, as a sculptor, I only know that I've really done it as I want to do it, when it exists there as real as a person exists.
Mr. Moore, when I see your work, whether I see it here now as I'm seeing it or when I've seen it before, I have an absolutely instinctive feeling that I want to touch it. I want to move my hand over the wood and feel it, or over the stone. Now, is that part of what you feel one is supposed to feel, or is it just something that I have personally about it?
Well, it's not a criterion of a good piece of sculpture that you enjoy touching it. Not an absolute criterion, because there are some materials which are unpleasant to touch, and yet the form of them might be wonderful. So that, a smooth surface, a dry surface, but a cold, wet surface, no matter what it was, you wouldn't like touching it. You see, so that touch alone, the actual sensation of touching, isn't a criterion, but the desire to touch, to feel the shape, is connected up with the sense of form, because one, no doubt, one's sense of touch is very much part of one's sense of shape.
Do you have that feeling if you look at the sculptures of someone else? Do you have the same feeling?
Yes, I do like touching a or like as if with this, you see. I mean, I think that to sort of pat your hand on that, like flapping the side of a horse. The flank of a horse gives you the same rich, big, round feeling that I and so I often go past it and just
yes. Standing in this room, I recognise all sorts of things from things I've seen before. For example, that over there, I know from the Time Life building in Bond Street, and I recognise a small piece up here which looks very familiar to me. It's one that is actually standing on the Dartington Hall estate in Totnes in Devon.
Yes, that is the slight, that is the little working model.
What about these photographs underneath, this couple, this man and woman seated on a dais?
Well, those are photographs in the final plaster state before it was cast into bronze of a group of two seated figures, which I call King and Queen. Because in doing them, the head of the man became, without me knowing how, because quite a lot of work that an artist does is something which you can't work out how it happens. And as I came to work on the head of the man, it was a mixture of a crown and a head and a beard, all amalgamated into one formal invention, and which to me represented something to do with a king. And then his partner became the queen. Whether one had this idea in the back of one's mind because one's daughter has just reached that age where stories of kings and queens, I read to her every night, whether that has had some unconscious theme in my mind. But anyhow, it did turn quite suddenly in doing the small model into a group of two figures, a king and a queen. And from then onwards, one arranged the pose and everything else to fit in with that idea of kingship. But not the idea of kings and queens of today, but more the idea, as one gets in reading The Golden Bough, of the primitive idea of a king being almost the father of the race, or even the one they're frightened of, even the there's a sinister, there's something of the king, a really primitive idea of kingship, and not a contemporary idea.
Do you play any part in the village life? Do you ever go down to the pub down the road that I saw as I came here? The Hoops?
Yes. Well, we go there every Sunday, of course, and I've just carved two heads. The porch of the church, of the village church, was decaying, and also, too, of course, in the war, one was in the Home Guard, and I do like the feeling that one's part of the local life, but not so much part that one's work is interfered with.
Do you go to church?
I do on occasions, I'm afraid, not very often.
Mr. Moore, you say you were in the Home Guard during the war and you've repaired the church and you like taking part in village life as long as it doesn't interfere with your work. Will you go on living in this village?
Well, I rather think so, because one of the reasons why we're here is that I like the landscape, and that this house has a garden in which there's at least six or seven spots where I can put a piece of sculpture and still not be seen. And I've always believed that sculpture is an art of the open air. Therefore, I'm able to do my sculpture and relate it to trees and grass and the sky. And that is what, for me, sculpture is. I'd rather have, in a sense, I'd rather have a piece of my sculpture in a really ideal setting on a big expanse of grass, or on a moor in a wild spot, on a moor or that kind of setting, than on the most beautiful building I can think of. Quite often I feel like that. So that to live in the country for me is a very important and essential part of my job, even as a sculptor.